Every so often I say that I'm going to continue the shiur next week or come back to it at some later date. This week, the shiur is the sequel, part two to last week's shiur. I'll give you a brief synopsis of what conclusions we arrived at last week. Basically, the thrust of the shiur was that the history of the Jewish people, Jewish history, is dramatically different than the history of every and any other nation on the face of this earth. The difference in the histories is that the history of the nations of the world is chronological. It goes in order. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. It is a result of cause and effect. There is cause and effect. There are all of the reasons for the Revolutionary War, as you would call, or the French Revolution. There are all sorts of causes for the beginning of the First World War, etc. It works by cause and effect. And we quoted the Gemara in the Sefer, the Gila, where the Gemara says that when God punishes the nations of the world, he punishes them first and heals them only afterwards. But with regard to the Jewish people, God always prepares whatever is necessary for the process of healing before he strikes the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu borei refuah lifnei hamakah. Borei refuah, he creates the healing before he strikes them. And then we, of course, quoted the Gemara where Haman was thrilled when the lots fell out on the month of Adar, that's when he's going to destroy all men, women, and children throughout the whole world. He's going to obliterate and exterminate and rid the world of the Jewish people. And he was so happy that it was the month of Adar, because it was the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu died, which was certainly not a good omen for the Jewish people, he thought. But he did not know that on the 7th of Adar Moshe died, and on that same day Moshe Rabbeinu was born for all of history. Jewish history does not work from Mugdam to Me'uchar, from the former to the latter. Jewish history is, what did we used to say, Moshe Kapaya, Pink Faket. Jewish history moves from the latter. The latter is that which dictates the former. It's not the former that dictates the latter. We went out of Egypt in order to receive Torah at Sinai, which means the purpose was already there in advance. And then, all right, then I repeated from our last week's sheet, which will last week's source, which will sum it all up. As I said, after 25 years, 30 years of developing this year, I find that the Soloveitchik said it in one paragraph. It's number 6 on the sheet there. There is a great difference between historical dynamics and covenantal destiny. Historical dynamics, that is the history of the nations of the world. The history of the Jewish people is covenantal. There's a covenant. And we're going to see that this word covenant is going to be extremely important in the understanding of today's year. There is a covenantal destiny. Covenantal means there was an agreement, a covenant, a treaty that was made between God and the Jewish people. And that covenant There is a covenantal destiny. God has decided in advance what will be the destiny of the Jewish people. And inexorably, everything throughout time is moving towards the fulfillment and completion of what God had decided in advance. It is the latter that determines the former. In historical dynamics, one event follows another. History is viewed as mechanical. The past is responsible. The past is responsible for the present. However, the covenantal event is sustained by the covenantal promise. The future is responsible for the present. For example, the experience of the land of Israel is a covenantal one. It cannot be explained in terms of historical dynamics. The cause of Eretz Yisrael is not an event of the land, but rather its cause is the fulfillment of a promise. The cause that brought about a Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael is not an event of the land, but rather we are back here because God promised that he's going to bring us back here. And that promise was made 4,000 years ago. The covenant has created a new concept, destiny, meaning destination. What determines historical truth is not the point of departure, but rather the point from which we started. That was last week's year. This week's year. This week's year. I'm beginning I'll pay in advance what the whole year is about. I'm going to go from the former to the latter. The purpose of this whole year is in order to demonstrate that this principle of the covenantal destiny and that Jewish history is different than any other history is precisely what underlies the events of Parshas Vayeshev, Mikates, Vayigash, and Vayechi. It is the first time that we're going to see this mechanism of Jewish history in life, in reality. Watch. You'll understand better as soon as we've made it through the shift. The first citation is back from Parsha Vayeshev. It says that Yaakov turns to Yosef, and he said to Yosef, "Halo achecho roim b'shchem, your brothers are grazing the sheep in Shechem. L'cho v'shlochako aleihem. Go, and I will send them." This is where it all starts. Just about where it all starts. That day that Yaakov sends Yosef out to find out what's happening with his brothers in Shechem. Vayom alo, lech no de'eit, et shlom achecho, let shlom hatzon, go see how your brothers are, how the sheep are, vashiveini dohar, and bring back word to me, vayoshmishlochenu, me'emek chevron, vayobo shchema. And he sent him from the valley of Chevron, and he came to Shechem. Rashi in number 2 says, me'emek chevron, that the whole drama is beginning now. This is it. This is just about step one. We'll see in a moment that there was also one previous step, but here it is. The great journey begins with Yosef going off to find his brothers. And Rashi says, wait a minute. He sent him from the valley of Chevron? Chevron is not a valley. Chevron is not a mountain. And it may be one of the higher mountains in all of Eretz Yisrael. How does the prophet say he sent him from Emek Chevron? So Rashi says, "Rabo Chevron Bahar." Shenemez, it says, "Vayalu Banegev, Vayavo et Chevron." They went up the Negev until they came to Chevron. Elah, so Rashi says, here's where it begins. May Eitzah Muka, from the deep council shall Oso Tzadik, of that righteous one, Hakavur b'Chevron, who's buried in Chevron. And Rashi takes us back to the covenant. Brit Bein HaBetarim, between God and Abraham Avinu. In that covenant, God had told Avram, that your children are going to be as strangers in a land that is not theirs. They will be enslaved for 400 years. And then I'm going to take them out. When will be the fulfillment of this treaty, the Brit Bein Habetachim? It begins now. Because Yosef ultimately is going to bring the whole family down to Mitzrayim. Now the wheels are moving. But what's moving the wheels really beneath the surface? You don't see it in the Pesukim except for this strange word, Emek. There's been a plan. There is a plan, God's divine plan, that in order to create the Jewish people, they're going to have to go through the suffering of Egypt. The Jewish people are going to be forged and formed in that suffering. They're going to emerge from there a strong, mighty, moral people. That's what he wanted. That was God's divine plan. And now, as Yosef is sent by his father doesn't know it consciously. Yosef doesn't know. The two main players over here don't have a clue that they are the actors in a drama of Jewish history. And the drama of Jewish history has a destination, a destiny. The first step of the destiny is Mitzrayim. Egypt. In other words, it's all, so to speak, had been determined in advance. It's the latter end that is bringing about everything that happens over here. And that's what it says. From the depths of Hebron, who is buried there? Avram Avinu was buried there. And it was between God and Avram that there was a covenant between the ark and now the drama begins. Ki gerdi azarcha. Next passage. He arrives in Shem. God, Avram sent him from the valley of Hebron and he came to Shem. By Yisra'elu ish. And the man found him. V'hineh to'ev asodeh. He's lost in the field. By Yisra'elu ish lemor. And the man asked him, so saying, Matavakesh, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? It's all pretty strange. The man found him? Why did the man go looking for him? Wasn't the man looking for Yosef? And who is this strange man? And he's the one who engages Yosef in conversation. So Rashi says, again, at the end of number two, Vayimtzoei Yuish, Rashi says that Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, Shenema, that says, Bohoish Gabriel. You know what happened over here? like, the great journey is beginning now. The first step in the unfolding drama is that Yosef is going to meet up with his brothers and the tragedy that ensues from there. Here it is, the plan's been all worked out, mapped out up in heaven. I can see the Malachim with a map of Eretz Yisrael and they have pins in it. Here's Yaakov, here's Yosef. But wait a minute. The plan at the very beginning has gone awry. It's gone all wrong. According to the plan, Yosef is supposed to meet up with his brothers. He comes to Shechem. The brothers aren't there. I can imagine the scene up in heaven. The Malachim are fluttering with their wings. The whole plan is, on the first day of the plan is in Gansen, in Gredeheim. The Rishon says, don't worry. We need a little bit of a mid-course correction. We have to make sure that Yosef is going to get where he's supposed to be. Gabriel, take care of it. Gabriel was sent to heaven. So you know what? Gabriel was sent to look for Yosef. To find the Yosef who's blundering in the field. He may not even know that he's lost. And he, what are you looking for? Your brothers? Oh, I heard they've gone there. And he goes to Dothan. And in heaven, there's a sigh of collective relief. All right? The divine plan is back on track. Joseph is going to meet with his brothers. What brought to this point as well? The early part of the beginning of Parsha Vayeshev is strange. What's strange about is the brothers, they don't like Yosef. They're jealous of him. It was difficult for me to say the word Vayishna'eyu, and they hated him. And you know what? Yosef knows this. And he insists on telling them his dreams. He says to the brothers, Shimon, please, do me a favor, listen to the dream. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with Yosef? Doesn't he know that all that will happen as a result of their hearing his dream is that they're going to hate him even more? All part of the plan. He has no choice. His dreams are prophecy. And the halacha is a prophet has a responsibility to say the message that was given to him. Yosef has no choice. Yosef understands that this is clearly going to create greater friction and animosity in the family. But he has no choice. Navi has to say what he's been told. Not his fault. Right now, he's a pawn in the unfolding drama. It has to start that way. The Rabbein Shalom is pulling the strings over here. But we'll have to wait till the end of this year to realize to what extent the Rabbein Shalom pulls the strings. And to what extent is human failings or foibles or emotions, they don't play any part in all of this?
Wait.
Number three is the Ramban. Beautiful Ramban. Some years ago, we spent a whole hour just on this Ramban. Now all you have to know is just what the Ramban says. A man found him and he's lost in the field. He stumbled, he's lost. Yosef doesn't know where to go. So as he's looking around, he entered into a field. Where is he seeking them? He seeks them where there is grazing land. The Torah still does all of this. I have to know that he entered a field. What do I need all of this? What do I need to know the fact that he was lost and somebody helped him? You know, we go someplace and we have to stop a few times to ask directions. Is that a story? That's not a story. Why is this appearing Torah here? The person talks about this lahakir. He see both the rabbo, the bow, and of your royal lancelot. There were many reasons why Yosef should have wanted to turn around and go back home. He didn't want to go in the first place, even though he said he may. He knows that his brothers are not his best friends. And now, of course, he's done what his father told him, go to Shrem. He came to Shrem, I looked around, I didn't find them, so that I can come back and I say, God, I don't know. I looked and they weren't there. And you know what? Abu Hakol Sahar L'Chvodav is. He doesn't give up. He's ready to tolerate it all. Honor his father. His father said, go. So he goes and he looks for them, for him. So first of all, he continues looking for them. So this tells us Yosef's dedication and his kibud av. Ulahudienu of second thing the Ramban says. To tell us also, Ki Hargizeda Emet Vahachaditzut Shege. These five words are awesome. Ki Hargizeda Emet, to tell us that God's decree is the truth. Vahachaditzut, and any kind of activity or diligence on the part of man to frustrate God's plan is sheker. Man simply is incapable of undoing, changing that which God has planned. There's a plan. Hagizeha emet v'hachaditzut sheker. I always think about this when it comes to the issue of Eretz Yisrael. It's very clear from who knows how many psukim in Chumash and Tanakh that this entire land is going to be ours, because that's what God promised. And Hagzeira Emes, God's decree is truth. And all of the pitiful, painful attempts of man to undo that which God plans, all ultimately is sheker. Palestinian state, two people side by side living like the, not the lamb and the wolf, two wolves or two lions, lying together. That's not going to be. None of it will be. And all of the attempts of giving away land, giving land, only hit us back in the face. Because HaGzeira Emes, HaHaditzut Sheker, there's a Gzeira. The Gzeira is that Klal Yisrael has to go to Mitzrayim. And the way in which it's going to happen is by Yosef going down there. Yosef is going to rise to power. It's all so strange. Everything is strange. But it's all planned. It's all part of an unfolding divine plan. And all of this is not the result of cause and effect, but it's the result of covenant and destiny. There's a covenant between God and the Jewish people. There's a destiny for Klal Yisrael. He's Zimen Mark, or this Baruch Hu Moda Dera Shalomi Dato. The Ramban is in a sense going to be disagreeing with Rashi to the point that it doesn't have to be a malach. Anybody who's there and gives him directions is serving as God's messenger. God can use all sorts of people, animals, storms, wind, they're all his messengers. Ruach Sa'ara, Osa Devara, the storm does God's bidding. That's a puppet that's been quoted most probably much lately in the United States. A storm sends messages. And everybody has to figure out what message that storm is sending. Sends messages. It's unbelievable. God sends messages in so many different ways. So when Ramban says, this person who gives him directions in the field doesn't necessarily have to be an angel who's hiding his wings and will go flying heavenward again afterwards. He happens to be at that place at the right time in order to do God's bidding. And we've had experiences like that in our own lives. That is the right person at the right time gives you the right advice and the right help. Okay. So he says, "He's feeling our Holy Spirit from motive that God prepared for him a person to guide him." Shalom idato. The messenger doesn't know that he's God's divine messenger. He sees somebody who obviously seems to be lost, and he goes over and says, "Can I help you, sir?" That's all. He doesn't know that he is some kind of a divine shliach. Shalom, the Mahavi Obi Yadu, to bring him to the hands of his brothers. That's what our rabbis went wrong when they said that these personalities, the different places in Tanakh, which says that they said that they are malachim, the angels, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean malachim. Malachim can mean they're God's messengers. They are working on behalf of God's plan, even though they know nothing. This whole story is not for naught. In order to tell us, God's divine counsel is that which ultimately is going to be reality. And anything else is shaker. All right? Number four. This, as we pointed out, is the first Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the great grandfather of the Chov. Number six, covenantal destiny. That was the Chov, and this is the great grandfather, Vayehi Miketz. So you know, we've been right now in Vayeshev, okay. We're going into Miketz, and right away we're going to come to Vayigash, which is this week's letter. The Beis HaLevi says the following, Vayehi Miketz Shnatayim Miyalim Uparo Cholem. That was we learned on Shabbos Chanukah. At the end of 2 years, Paro dreams. At the end of 2 years, from what does Paro dream? What's this 2 years have to do with the dream? So the Medrash says, that's what it says in the pasuk, Kates Son Lachosha. God made an end to darkness. Kates Son LeYosef, Kama Yiyeh Beit HaSudim. The Medrash goes on to say, there was an end to the time that Yosef will remain in prison. 2 years. He was sentenced to another 2 years in prison because he placed his confidence in the Sahamashkim, in the butler. So, another two-year sentence. Understand? Even Shehigia HaKeitz, when the end of that period that Yosef is to remain in prison arrives, Uparo Cholein, Paro drinks. So, watch what the Beis HaLevi is going to say. I have a feeling it's like Mamish, the Elder Zayda and the Einagel. They think alike. It's amazing. He says, the meaning of the Medrash is to behold Dabar Shabalam Yeshiba Umasuvav. Everything in the world has a cause and an effect. Alright? Something that brings it about. Ukamo. For example, Echo Kama Schore Achas Vihirviya San Godel Fazer. Somebody bought some merchandise, and you know what? He made a lot of money. He sold it and he made a lot of money. Place. He bought a stock, a Fashloganer stock, a penny stock. It goes shooting up, and the man is a millionaire given. He says, according to the way man looks at things with his mind, what's the cause of his having made all the money? The cause was because he bought the stock. Right? Isn't that it? Cause and effect? Cause and effect. The truth is, that's a terrible mistake. The Lomasiva Gormalola Harvia. He didn't make money because of buying the stock. Lakmin Hashemai Ninzarolav Sheyaviach. In heaven, they decided, Glacio said, I want this fellow to have money. Understand? That sets everything into motion. Mandela, unbeknownst to him, he's going to buy this stock and he's going to become rich. Not because he bought the stock. There are people who buy stocks every day and remain a medium gedolim for the rest of their lives. But there was a decision on high. The real cause is God, not the fact that he bought the stock. The nimtza harevach, hu hasiba. The profit that he's going to make, or that God wants him to make, the profit is the cause of what happened. Because God wants him to have that profit. It's not because he purchased the stock. However, that's when I said mine. Yeah, the nimsa harevach hu hasiba hu kniyat haschora hi hamesuba. The cause and effect is different than what we would think. We think that the cause is he bought the stock, and the effect is that he got rich. No, no, no. Because God wants him to be rich, that's the cause. And the effect is that he bought the stock. So, fuck it. The exact opposite of what we have thought. Not the former and the latter, it's the latter and the former. Oh, fuck it. The chen kan. Over here, Hashem, if you say, Kalvaya, the hachalom shel paro hu asiva, we would think, when you read the psukim, you know what it was that brought, that got Yosef out of prison, and he gained his freedom, because Paro dreamt. No, the letter says, Paro dreamt so that Yosef should be removed from prison. Exact opposite. That's why the Medrash brings the pasuk, "Taste some lachosha." There's an end to the darkness. The end to the darkness that come now. Yosef has to be removed from prison. How do we do it? Paro, dream. So it's not the dream of Paro that brought to the freedom of Yosef. It's Yosef's freedom that now has to go into effect that brings Paro to dream. One line in the Medrash says all that. Yeah. The facts are just the opposite. The most important thing is the time had come for Yosef to leave prison. Because of the fact that Yosef was supposed to go to prison, the effect was that Paro dreamt. Shekholam Paro Chalom. The cause is Yosef's freedom, and the effect is Paro's dream. Not Paro's dream is the cause, and the effect is that Yosef goes out to freedom. That's why the pasuk says, "Vayihini kates v'asayit yavim." It was at the end of 2 years. Shenishlam's man shel Yosef, the end of Yosef being in prison, has arrived. Uparo kolei. Paro dreams. There's that sivva. Because it's the end of the 2 years, that caused the parish of dream. The Zohar should make our medrash. That's why the medrash brings the prophet. Case song lachosha. The king is shehigia case. Miyadu parakol. What a beautiful, beautiful place, Holly. Which, of course, maybe to our ears it sounds even better when you hear his great grandson talking about the mechanics of history and the covenantal destiny. I like that, covenantal destiny. It means Jewish history completely different than old world history. Number 7. We're moving ahead. Two medrashim. One is the medrash in Parsha Vayigash. This is Seder. The other is the medrash back in Parsha Vikates. Number 7. It says that Yehuda separated, went down from his brothers by gate, and he pitched his tents at Ish Adulami, by Yehiba Eitahi. The pasuk begins by saying, and it came to pass at that time, this is after the sale of Yosef. Alright? Rav Shmuel bar Nachman Pasach. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman began by darshing that pasuk, Ki Anochi Adati Et HaMachshavot. God says, I know what everybody is thinking. And watch how the Medrash describes it. Shvatim hayu asukim b'mechirato shel Yosef. The tribes were involved in the sale of Yosef. Yosef hayu asuk b'sako u'betanito. Yosef was mourning for himself with sackcloth and fasting. Ruvain hayu asuk b'sako u'betanito. Ruvain was also doing tshuva for something improper that he had done. The Yaakov also the Sarkov Talito. Everybody's in a state of mourning. Yosef is off there in slavery. Reuven has an Aveda. Reuven is also mourning for the fact that he wanted to return Yosef to his father. He comes back to the pit and Yosef is not there. Hayelad einenu, the child is not there. V'ani on ani bo, where am I going to go? And Yaakov, of course, refuses to be consoled. He's inconsolable. The Yehuda haya asuk likach lo isha. What's Yehuda? Yehuda is looking to find a woman to marry. What's the Rebbeinu Shlomo doing? V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu haya osek bodei odrom shel melech hamashiach. No doubt was though he was in the process of creating the light of Mashiach. Because that parsha is Vayehi Ba'et Ahi Vayeged Yehuda. At that time, Yehuda went down to his brothers. Terem Tachil Yolada. He's going to live with Tamar. We know the whole strange situation about him living with Tamar. He brings a pasuk. The letter brings a pasuk in Yishayahu. Terem Tachil Yolada. Pasuk in Yishayahu says, before there were labor pains, she had given birth. Look how the Medrash learns that. Kodem shelo nolad mishabed harishon nolad goel ha'acharon. Watch this. I'm going to read it again. Before the first enslaver was born, before the paro who was going to enslave the Jewish people, you know who was born before all of that? The one who will ultimately at the end of days be the Redeemer. From the twins, Peretz and Zarah, will come David and Shlomo and ultimately Moshiach. Before the first enslaver was born, the ultimate Redeemer was born. Doesn't that sound like HaKadosh Baruch Hu bodei refuah kodem lamakah? God has the refuah for the Jewish people and for all of history already in place before the enslavement of the Jewish people begins. Doesn't that sound like covenantal destiny? Doesn't that sound like the latter is that which is going to inform and bring about the former? Vayhi be'et ahi. Mark Tidlo Malam in Ohenian. What does it say before that? Vayhidonim Mokru Oto Mitzrayim. And the Midyanim sold Yosef to Egypt. And while Yosef is on his way to Egypt, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is in the process of creating Oro Shel Moshiach. In other words, Jewish destiny is being established. It may take a few thousand years, but through those few thousand years, Klal Yisrael will survive the worst suffering and persecution as any people on the faces of this earth ever had to suffer. And despite Arnold Toynbee, the fossils are alive and well, and the fossils are building a powerful and a strong state. And the world hates us even more. I think the success of the state of Israel is most probably cause for more hatred than anything else. But that's the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants it. He knows exactly what he's doing. I have perfect confidence in him that he knows what he's doing. Let's take a look at the Medrash in the case. Vayomi Yisroel Loma Hariotenli. Yisroel says to his children when he sends them down the second time to Mitzrayim to buy provisions. So they tell him, listen, we can't go unless we bring Binyamin. So he says to them, why have you caused me such ill to tell him that you have a younger brother? What were you talking? What are you telling stories? Reb Levi, the Shem Reb Chama Bachanina said, And this is the Medrash that we learn in a completely different context. The Medrash, you should recognize it. The Medrash we learned a number of weeks ago in the context of our shir in Parashat Vayetze. Parashat Vayetze. Watch what the Medrash says. They olam lo ama Yaakov Avinu dovashol batola elokah. Yaakov Avinu never said anything that was nonsense, except for this. He says to his children, why did you just do this terrible thing and you told them that you have a brother? Why was it a... Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so says the Holy One, blessed be He. Ani osek lahamlich et b'no b'mitzchayim. I'm in the process of making his son the king over all of Egypt. Who amen? He says, why did you do so terrible to me? Yaakov doesn't know what the divine plan is. He doesn't know what's going on behind the scenes. And the verse says, that's Mensch. And we talked about the fact that very often we think that certain things are the worst thing that ever happened, and then a few years later it turns out, what are you talking about? That was terrific. That was the greatest thing that happened. And sometimes it doesn't take years. In the unfortunate or the tragic circumstances, I missed the flight, for heaven's sake. I missed the flight. Okay, plane crashes. The greatest thing that ever happened. Remember, that was one of the things that happened with Rav Herzog when he was in the United States in 1942, and he knew then that the German forces were already by the gates of Alexandria. They were going to make the next great thrust. Rommel and his desert foxes were going to make the next great breakthrough into Eretz Yisrael. He insisted he must go back from the United States, and it was U-boats were all over the Atlantic. Rabbanim and friends didn't want him to go. He insisted. They got him a booking on a particular boat because he forced them to. The morning he's supposed to go to the boat, he gets a call that his place was taken. He can't go on that flight. He was on that boat. He was terribly, terribly upset. 3 days later, his secretary walks in and puts a newspaper down on of Herzog's desk. That boat had gone down in the Atlantic. But he'd gone down to another boat, and that boat took him all the way down to the bottom of South Africa, and then he began a journey by every means of conveyance in the world. I don't know, donkey, camel, little plane, train, until he made it back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's when he made the great statement. I'll tell you, that also fits in over here. They asked him, why did you want to take... It was together with his Edmonton. Why did you want to take such a dangerous journey? Eretz Yisrael was about to be crushed by Rommel, by Hitler, actually. He says, the Nevi'im spoke of a first Korban and a second Korban. There will never be a third Korban. Oh, is he right? They stopped him. Stop Rommel at El Alamein, and then of course the famous statement of Churchill, until El Alamein we never had a victory, and from El Alamein we never suffered a defeat. Okay. Someday I'll tell you the full story of what Palestinians did in order to make sure that Rommel doesn't, the real Palestinians. In those years the Palestinians were Palestinian Jews. And there were 500 Palestinian Jews in the Sahara Desert that held up Rommel for 2 months. Long story. We'll find another pasuk in Chumash someplace that I can put that into. But anyway, here it is. The Gemara says, what's he complaining about? What's Yaakov complaining about? I'm in the Baruta, and Baruta's making his son king. All right? That's what it says. Nistra darki me'ashem elekai. Okay. Let's go to number 9. I have to finish the end because it gets... number 9 is also something, some psukim that we had learned at an earlier, in an earlier year. It's in a completely, now it's a completely different context. Shaul's father has lost donkeys. The Jewish people have asked Shmuel to appoint a king. Shaul and his boy go through the land of Binyamin and the land of Yehuda. They're looking for the donkeys. They don't find the donkeys. His boy tells him, we better get home. Most probably they're not worried about the donkeys anymore, but they're now worried about us. So the boy said, but wait a minute, we're not far from the city where the seer lives, the prophet. Let's go ask the seer. The seer is Shmuel. They come to the city of the seer. Now you have to listen to this Gemara very carefully. First, the Psukim. Number 9. They're coming into the city. Where it's on the line. Behema Masu Na'arot Yotzot L'Shov Mayim. They're coming into the city where Shmuel lives, and they meet up with girls that have gone out to fetch water. And they said to them, does the seer, is he someplace around here? The girls answered, and they said, now listen to this very fascinating answer. Yes. Yeah, he's here. He made the fanecha. Bill is right before you. My hair, hurry, Arta, now. Ki hayom bolayir. Because today he's arrived in the city. Ki zera hayom la'om ba'boma. Because today there's a sacrifice for people at the local mizbeach. Ki borachim hayir. When you come into the city, came tinsun oto. They will, you will find it. Before he goes up from the city to the high place where they have the mizbeach, lechol tweed. Kilo yochal ham, the people will not eat arbao until he comes. Kihu yivarech. It's getting a little long. You know what the answer should have been? Yashar, yashar. Yashar, yashar. Just go straight. They could have used one word, yashar, or they could have used two words for emphasis. Yashar, yashar. But no. But this is the longest answer in history to a simple question of three words. Hayesh, Bazeh, Haroeh, is the seer here? They could have said Yashar or Yashar Yashar. But no. This keeps going on. Keep doing for Hazara, because he's gonna make the brach over the garment. Afterwards the people who are invited are going to eat. Wait a minute. Shaul doesn't say it, but listen girls, I just asked for directions. I didn't ask for a speech. And they keep going. Vato, alu, go up, kiyoto kahayon, tinsun, oto, because now, like that, you will find him. The longest answer in history. So number 10, the Gemara asks the question. After the first paragraph over here brings the psukim that we learn. And then the Gemara interrupts its citation of the brisa to ask, the Kol Kach Lama, and why did the maiden speak so much in response to Saul's simple question? First, answer though. The Gemara gives three answers. Now, I want you to understand them. Don't get yourself all hot under the collar and start getting, self-righteous. And you just wait till I explain what the Gemara means. All right? One, the fish are not in that Rania said because women are talkers. Already you're thinking, what is it? What was that statement that Lieberman said about, who is it? Galon, Yakovlevich, and Sidney Zyber. No, that's not what the Gemara means. And you'll see that that's not what the Gemara means. It's not what the Gemara means. All right? Trust me. This is not a pejorative. It's not making fun of them. You'll see when we get to Rav Kook, who explains the Gemara. The real shot over here is, and it's true, you can't deny it. Women are friendly.
He's trying to find the right
thing. Somebody calls. So I don't mean this in any way. I can get somebody off the phone in about 10 seconds. Not my wife. No. How are you feeling? How's the family? How's that? Child of yours that wasn't well. I don't even think about any of these things. Unless she can do a good job on the phone. Layla, I need the phone. Wait a minute. Okay. Rami is saying, he is talking about a natural form of being more friendly. We men are sometimes ogres. But women are not so. That's what the Gemara tells them. The Gemara, under no circumstances, and you'll see that this has to be the shot. We're not talking about them to death. We're not talking chat about this. Blah, blah, blah. The only ones who are blah, blah, blah are politicians. And certainly when we're talking in a period of elections, and you have to listen to all the analysis, they'll blah, blah, blah you to death. They can talk. But that's not what the Gemara means. They're just friendlier. You know, somebody new in town, you should know what's going on in town. There's a big setup today. Shmuel, the great Shmuel is coming, you know? Obama is coming to town today. And what's Shmuel going to do? What's Shmuel going to do? They're not going to begin the Zerach until he comes, because he's the one who's going to say the bracha on the Zerach. And by the way, that's why the Gemara brought these children, because they want to prove that you're supposed to say a bracha before you eat something. This is from the Sefer Brachos. And over here it says that nobody's going to eat until the Roeh is going to say the bracha. The Mechabed him, he's the God of the Israel. He's going to make the bracha. Shekin Shonim, Mitzvayshim, Mitzvonu, Arachilas, Hashlonim, or whatever it is. Okay. Women are nice, they're good, they're caring, they're warm. Boy, I got through that first line. Let's see the second. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, second answer, why did they say so much? Shaul was exceedingly handsome.
Yeah.
And they were talking to him because they wanted to look at his beauty. We're not talking about anything erotic or anything besotted. Beautiful human being. Third answer in the Gemara. They bring the prophet that Mishikhmoy Vamala, from his shoulder up, he was taller. He was a tall, imposing looking man. The third answer is Rav Yochanan Amar. Lefishei Malkus Nogat Bechaverto Afilu Kimlo Nima. No kingdom can encroach on another kingdom even by a hairbreadth. That means what is about to happen now is the end of Shmuel's hegemony over the Jewish people. The leadership of Shmuel is coming to an end, and Shaul is now going to receive the mantle of leadership. So everything was decided in advance. Wait a minute. There are another few minutes. Another few minutes that Shmuel is supposed to have that mantle of leadership. Do you know what has to happen? We need something to delay the meeting between Shaul and Shmuel just for a few minutes. You know what? Who are the shluchei? Who are God's messengers? God's messengers are the girls. They will delay the ultimate moment just for a few minutes. Make his way someplace. Everybody's concerned. What's going to happen with God's plan? Don't worry about God's plan. There's a man right there in the field. He gives Yosef directions. Calm down, everybody. Yosef is going to have his meeting with destiny. The girls are the ones who are God's shluchim. And they have. It means, according to the third shot, that every word that they say is measured by seconds. That's precisely the hairbreadth amount of time that is necessary to delay the meeting between Shmuel and Shaul. Then I came across a piece from Rav Kook that is so brilliant. I just had to sit there after I learned it, and I was overawed. And that's number 11. We're going to go through it. We only have 3 minutes. But you know what? 3 minutes can be a meeting with destiny. We're meeting with Rav Kook right now. After the dark letters, it says, Sholo Sipotein. Do you see that? 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth line. Sholo Sipotein. But things that happen in this world are 3 causes. There's a Sivativ it. There are causes that are absolutely natural. Sivaditson it. There are causes that are the result of man's will. Man chooses to do something, and that has a chain reaction. Varklal al kulam, and that which imposes itself on all of them is Achibar HaMishachid, God's divine providence. So he says, Shehi mecholelet mitzad yad Hashem yizbarach asher ho'in l'chol avavi inyam tu'udato. That's God making sure that the destiny he had decided upon is going to be met. Basher Im Khadava Shain Lo Shah. Everything has its moment in time. Therefore, you know what the Gemara is saying? Shagambi Hotenu Yodimet Asibaj Gachit. Even when we know the divine plan, we know what the divine plan here is. We know that God wants Shaul to meet with Shmuel, because that's when the mantle of leadership is going to be passed in. The first king is going to be established by Chronosler. So he says, even though we know God's divine plan, you know what our responsibility is? How does he do it? What does he use in the process? How do other people become players in this great drama? So he says, even though we know the reason, which is God's divine plan, on which we call on from our core, we still have to investigate. There is some natural siva, something natural, the Kabbalah siva that's on it, and there are also human beings who act by virtue of their free will. There are human beings in the world who are acting. Because when we know all of this, then our knowledge of how God works, how his divine providence works, is going to be complete. God doesn't work in a vacuum. He works in a world where there are human beings. And he, knowing the will and the feelings and the emotions and the desires and the lusts of human beings, he incorporates that into his divine plan. He interweaves into the divine plan man's will, and then the natural responses of human beings. Everything makes up the tapestry that's history. And our responsibility to see not only what God's plan is, but how he goes about doing it. So the Kol Eila, from all these three, Tishtalei Yediyatenu, we get a complete knowledge of the way in which God works. Therefore, these three answers to the Gemara, you know, the truth is that the Gemara would be very strange. Without the cook, it's strange. Davronier say, chatterboxes, they wanted to look at it. No. What's happening over here is we are being given a picture with all of the details. God uses natural occurrences as part of his plan. God uses man's will and his lusts and his desires. He incorporates them all into that which is going to be used by him in order to carry out his plan. And over here it's, well, the girls have a natural tendency to talk nicely. When they choose, their will goes into operation when they want to look at the Sean. He's imposing, very imposing. God is using all of these for the third reason of the Gemara, which is the time had not yet come. We need a delay. All of the parashiot, beginning from Parsha Vayeshev until the end of Torah, is using for the entire picture of God carrying out his divine will, which is that Yosef should go down to Mitzrayim and become king, and his brothers and his father should come down to Mitzrayim with great honor and dignity. And that should be the forerunner of Sefer Shemot, which is going to be the process of suffering in Mitzrayim, which will ultimately build a Jewish people. Into that tapestry, as I call it, you know what God is taking into consideration? That the brothers are jealous of Yosef. Their feelings become that which is used by the relation. Their feelings of Yosef are that which is going to cause him to be sold. Aren't you sold? Good. We're doing okay. Okay. He's imprisoned over there. He suffers. He has to suffer first. He suffers for them. But wait a minute. He has to get out. We have to get him out of prison here. The relation works completely on his own. He goes ahead and gives Paro a double whammy dream, and because of that dream, Yosef is removed from prison. Everything is part of a brilliant, masterfully executed divine plan. And at the heart of it all is that Jewish history is dramatically different than the history of any other people on the face of this earth. And that's exactly what's going to happen throughout all the history. The revelation is going to get us exactly to the place where he said he's going to get us. And he's going to bring us there, and we're going to make it there, and we're going to succeed there, and the day will come that God is going to judge all nations of the world on Har Zion.
Amen.